It's good to hear the praises of God in this place today, isn't it? You know, it reminds me of when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, and that's really what we're celebrating today and throughout this next week here is the approach of Jesus and his disciples into the holy city of Jerusalem. And that's really where all the things that have been prophesied for thousands of years, eventually they were coming to pass. And what I'd like to do this morning is to read over with you the account of when Jesus and his disciples came into the city of Jerusalem. Now, you know, Jerusalem is known as the Holy City. And it's really a very special place and probably the most special place on earth. You know, there's great places to be and that, but the holy city, the city of God. God says, I'm going to make a place where my name is going to be, a place for my name to be. And that was Jerusalem. And one of the things we see in the news today, maybe not today, but around our time here, is the fact that Jerusalem is in the news, isn't it? And it's God's holy city. And we see people trying to make determination of things that are happening in God's holy city. And we see people trying to divide the city up and have someone other than who God gave that land to become the ones who are inhabiting that city. And, you know, God never said that nobody else can inhabit the city, but that it's his city. And, you know, right now we're at a time where people are trying to divide up the land of God, and it's not going to go well with those who pressure that. So we really need to pray for our country right now, that our country will support Israel, because Israel is the people of God. Israel, God said, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And unless we as Americans want to be fighting against God, which I know I don't want to, we need to be standing behind Israel. And I know that a lot of people are wondering, why should the U.S. Support Israel? Well, I guess that's probably the best reason why, is because I want to be under God's blessing and not under his curse. And the Bible says that if we touch Jerusalem, we're touching the apple of God's eye. So we've got to be real careful about that. And I know that political things and religious things are supposed to be kept separate, but I think that it needs to be said. Somebody has to tell the American people that we need to support God's plan on the earth. Amen? So, here we are today. We're looking at what happened 2,000 years ago in the great holy city of Jerusalem. When you think about the events of this coming week here, we're thinking about the Jewish people coming together in the holy city, and they were coming not to to celebrate Easter or the things that we celebrate right now. They were coming to celebrate Passover. You remember what Passover was? Passover was a big thing for the Jewish people. It was a time when God intervened. They were in slavery. And God said, let my people go. And they didn't want to let them go. They had slaves. They had free employees. And God delivered his people. And that was where the If you remember the angel of death, because they would not let the Jewish people go, the angel of death came and smote the firstborn of each of the families. And so you can imagine how our country would feel if something like that happened here. You would hear the wailing in the streets like they did back then. But people would come to Jerusalem, and that every year on that specific day, and they would celebrate the Passover. And the word for Passover actually means to jump over. And that was what the angel of death did, jumped over the Israelite children, the Israelite homes, because they had the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. I want to ask you today, do you have the blood of the lamb on the door, on your doorpost? Because that's where the wrath of God jumps over. We know Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. He's the one who died upon the cross, shed his perfect, spotless blood for us so our sins could be forgiven. And so the wrath of God could jump over and would not touch us. It's so good to know that God made a way. Whoever would have thought that God made a way that would go through the cross? A way where he himself would pay the penalty for our sins. See, his justice says that the soul that sins, it shall die. That's justice. And we all deserve justice, right? But God made a way that it wasn't us who had to die. It's because Jesus Christ died in our place. And because of that, we now have justification with God. We've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not by anything we did, not by going to enough church services or being baptized or anything else, you know, putting enough money in the offering plate or anything else. The only thing that has justified us is that the Lamb, the Paschal Lamb, the Lamb of Passover, Jesus Christ, paid the price for us all. That's good news for us all today. Well, I was reading through the scriptures, and I want to begin reading through them with you today, just as we focus our minds and our hearts on the events of this week. And as each day goes by, I know I personally think about the events of that day in the life of Jesus and of his disciples. And today we're celebrating the day when Jesus and his disciples entered into this bustling city of Jerusalem. There was a lot going on in that city that day. People would make pilgrimage from all over. The Jewish people would make pilgrimage to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover during that time of the year. And we really don't have that kind of a celebration here in our country right now. But the closest thing I can think of is, you know, Super Bowl week. Do you remember when the Super Bowl was down in New Orleans? And there was a great, I mean, you couldn't find a restaurant that had an opening where you could go sit down. You couldn't find a hotel that you could stay in at night. It was kind of that atmosphere in Jerusalem. And it wasn't just for the one day, the Super Bowl Sunday. It was for that that whole week there. So here comes Jesus and his disciples. They're coming into this city. The city has exploded in their number, probably 10 times what there normally is in population in the city. So you know that there's traffic, and of course they didn't have any buses or things like that to get around in. The people were walking. If you go to a third world country right now, you know, you see a lot more people walking places. You know, we don't walk much out here. I don't anyway. I should walk more. You know, snowbanks and that all kind of keeps things, keeps you in the house a little bit more. But in those places, people were walking. They were riding a donkey. They were riding a horse or a cart or something like this. And so the streets were filled. And if you can imagine, sometimes you go to the fair and you find that there's these street vendors. And if you go down to third world countries on a mission trip or something, you'll find street vendors who are cooking their wares out there on the street. And, oh, it smells so good. Just a little note, if you ever go on a missionary trip, be real careful eating from the street vendors. I got really sick a few times. Oh, you know, I had been eating things that I wasn't used to eating and I was there for a couple of weeks, and we got into a city, and somebody had a French fry stand, and I don't know when the last time they changed the oil in that, but, you know, it just smelled so good. Have you ever gone by the Italian sausage with onions and peppers, you know, at the fair? And you just can't resist. Well, I was doing pretty good. And I decided I was going to go and buy a little package of these French fries. And, oh, I'm telling you, they tasted so good. But I paid for it for the next week. So, you know, but this is the kind of things that they would have seen when they went to Jerusalem during that week of the Passover. And people would rent a building or an upper room or some place where they would celebrate Passover in the holy city with their family, their friends, and they would have that taken care of there. And so it was a pretty busy time in the city at that time. So let's just take chapter 21 of Matthew and just read about when Jesus and his disciples entered Jerusalem. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Now, if you were the owner of that donkey, you probably would say something to somebody if you saw them untying it and walking it away, right? And it says, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus came humbly. He could have come as a king, with a crown, with an entourage, riding a white war horse, the best, finest clothes, trumpets proclaiming him. But instead, he came on a donkey. Now, I think that you would agree that a donkey is not a very high-class ride. But he came into Jerusalem on the donkey. He came humbly. And that was the mark of his whole ministry, wasn't it? Amen. He didn't come to lord it over the people. He came
to give to the people. If you look around today, God still uses humble servants. He still uses humble vessels. He still uses people who are willing to get their hands dirty and to reach out to the unclean, to the ones that everybody else is shunning, maybe. God still uses humble servants. It says the disciples went and they did as Jesus had instructed them. In verse 7, they brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others took branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." It says that they paved the road with their cloaks, with branches. And I'll just tell you another little thing from a situation when I was on a mission trip in Guatemala. Up in the mountains, the Indian people, they have a custom. And it's their way of welcoming someone. And when our group would come to one of these churches way up in the mountains, they had nothing. The only thing that they would have, sometimes they would have a board to sit on. They would make benches out of a board, probably no backrest. Some of the places, once they were established long enough, somebody would make a backrest, and there would be a little backrest. So they didn't have nice padded chairs like what we have here. But what they would do is somebody, I never saw anybody do this, but I know who did it, probably. Felipe, probably Brother Felipe did this. Went up in the mountains and they would strip these long pine needles off of the trees. I don't know how much they brought, but they would cover the whole floor, the whole dirt floor of the church would be covered with about an inch thick of these pine needles. And it would let off that pine scent, and it would smell so nice. And they'd set them on the seats so that as you came and you sat down, you were being welcomed with the only thing that they had, which was something that they could get from the mountains, because they had no money. And so this is the kind of thing that was happening on the road where Jesus would came in with his disciples. It says in that scripture that I just read, it says that the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this that is coming in here with this reception, royal reception?" As Jesus came in humbly on this donkey, he knew exactly what was going to happen by the end of the week. He was receiving a royal welcome by the people of the city, but very soon his royal welcome by the people would become an attack by the religious leaders of the city. Jesus stirred things up when he came into the city. There was a lot of things going on in the city at that time, but when Jesus came in, the attention went towards him. You know, that's one of the things the religious leaders didn't like. They did not like that the attention was going to Jesus. If you look at the scriptures around this time, just before he came into the city here, Jesus healed two blind men. And he became known for the miracles that he would do. He could raise the dead. He could heal the sick. He could cast out demons. And the word spread. And the religious leaders who were used to being in the first seat in the synagogue, they were now taking the back seat as people realized that Jesus was the coming Messiah. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The people recognized he was coming in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The whole city was stirred and noticed when he came in. The whole city was stirred. Jesus stirred things up. Amen, you know, there's another thing that Jesus stirred up. Shortly afterwards, in Matthew 21, verse 12, we find that Jesus entered the temple courts. And it says that he drove out. I'm sorry, I breathed on the microphone here. I hope I didn't wake anybody up. Jesus entered the temple courts, and he drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a den of robbers. And then the blind and the lame came to the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonders and the things that he did, the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, he replied, Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. So they probably went out and camped out for the night out in some orchard or something, which was what they did a lot. And but when the people were saying Hosanna to the Son of David, they were recognizing this is our Savior coming in. And the religious leaders didn't like that. They said, you better start rebuking these people because that's blasphemy. And he turned over these tables. Now, in the outer courts of the temple were tables which sometimes, especially during these times of sacrifice and of these special events like Passover, they would have people come in, like a vendor would come in. And they would sell doves, they would sell different animals for sacrifice. There was always somebody willing to sell something whenever there was a crowd, whenever a crowd was gathered. And it's still the same way in many parts of the world. You know, whenever there's a gathering of people, there will be somebody there to meet the needs, you know. And it wasn't wrong that these people were meeting the needs, because sometimes people would travel for a long distance with their families and they really couldn't bring their sacrifice with them. They couldn't bring a goat or a sheep or whatever it was they were going to sacrifice. So they would purchase their sacrifice there in the city and then take it to the temple and have it sacrificed. It wasn't wrong that they were selling these sacrificial animals, but what was wrong was, number one, they were doing it in the temple, and number two, they were charging exorbitant amounts of money because they knew they had people over a barrel. And if you wanted to sacrifice, you had to buy the sacrifice someplace. And so these are the kinds of things. And then the money changers. They, people would come from different areas. And when we go on a mission trip, we always have to change our money as soon as we get into country. And we change it over to the country's money. And but what they would do was they would charge a lot of interest just to change the money from one to another, and like change from dollars to quetzales or whatever it is that they I'm sure they didn't have quetzales over there, but they would, you can go different places and people will change your money for you. You can go to the bank, you can go to different places, but sometimes they will charge a lot of money and they'll keep the difference. And you come in there, you don't really know what the exchange rate is for that day or whatever, you know. So they were taking advantage of the people is what was happening. That's why Jesus says, my house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of robbers and thieves. And that angered him. And so he turned over these tables and he drove them out. Well, you can imagine that that got people's attention, because whenever you touch their money, you can you create a reaction, and that's what happened there. Their business suffered because of it, but Jesus said, "This is not why we're here. We're here to pray. This is the house of God." And then they begin to ask, "What? By what authority are you doing these things?" And verse 23 of chapter 21, Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" We thought we were the authority around here. Who gave you this authority? The authority to heal the blind man? The authority to drive out demons? They recognized that he was exercising authority. Their authority was being questioned. Jesus stirred up the temple. So he stirred up the whole city. He stirred up the temple. And Jesus, today, he's stirring up the church. I want to just turn to Revelation chapter 3. If you have your Bibles with you today. Revelation chapter 3. The church in Laodicea. Verse 14. To the angel in the church of Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold, or cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Jesus stirred things up, and he's still stirring things up today. I believe that he would stir us up. And that's the next thing that I'm going to bring out, is that Jesus stirred up his disciples. He stirred up the church. It's so easy to become maybe kind of like what the church in, or the temple in Jerusalem got to be. It got to be an organization. It got to be something other than what it was meant to be. Jesus said, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. It's so easy for the church to get on a roll, if you want to think of it that way, and just kind of lose sight of what we're really supposed to be doing. We're really, really supposed to be doing what Jesus did. Amen. Reaching out to the lost, reaching out to the poor, the needy, meeting the needs, loving one another. Amen. It's so easy to get on a roll and for those really important things to kind of slip aside. And I think that's probably what happened to the church in Laodicea. They were neither hot nor cold. They thought they were rich, but they weren't. They were poor and pitiful and wretched and blind and naked, but they didn't even know it because they got their eyes off of what they should be doing. So Jesus stirred up the whole city. He stirred up the temple. He stirred up the church. And he also stirred up his disciples. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 1:6. Do you have your Bibles with you today? That's good. It used to be that a lot of people didn't touch their Bible from one week to the next, but they'd bring it to church with them. But you know what's happening now? A lot of people aren't even bringing Bibles to church with them anymore. It's important that we know God's Word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And who knows, there might come a day when it'll be illegal for you to carry that thing in public. You know, who would have thought a few years ago that it would be illegal for you to carry one in a school? That's right. Or to have one on a judge's desk or something like that. You know, things are moving. Jesus stirred up his disciples in 2 Timothy 1:6. He says, stir into flame the gift of God that is within you by the laying on of my hands. There's something that we need to do to stir up ourselves. We can't just wait for somebody else to preach a good sermon that's going to stir us up, or to have something happen that stirs us up. We're to stir ourselves into flame. We're to keep that fire burning. We don't want to be lukewarm disciples, do we? I know we don't want to be a lukewarm church. We know what happens to that. Just about gets ready to be spit out of his mouth. And I think that we as disciples need to make sure that we don't become lukewarm disciples. The early disciples, pretty much all of them, gave their life for Jesus. Yeah, They all walked away. The Bible says, every one of you will deny me, he said. But they all came back, and most of them gave their lives, because at that time, it was pretty unpopular to be a Christian. It's getting like that today, too, isn't it? Getting pretty unpopular. You can offend any, you can't offend anybody except Christians. Stir into flame. We don't want to be lukewarm disciples. We need to be on fire. How do we do that? We stir up the gift. What's the gift? The Holy Spirit is the gift. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the gift that we have been given as born-again disciples of Jesus. You remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit came down in power. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. We need to be fired up. We need to be stirred up. Jesus stirred up the whole city. He stirred up the temple, stirs up the church, and he stirs up his disciples. It's time to stir up. And while we're talking about getting stirred up, I want to close with this today. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 44, Jesus is in this week of preparation for his sacrifice on the cross. Luke 19:44. It says, as he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it. He's approaching the city on the hill, Jerusalem, the city of God, the holy city, the place where God has established his name forever. And as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. Can you imagine Jesus crying? What could make the Son of God cry? He says, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Why were they destroyed? Because they did not recognize the time of God's coming to them. And I know a lot of people who are destroyed because they do not recognize the time of God's coming to them. I'm sure that there were many people who heard the teachings of Jesus and had the same opportunities to receive him as their Lord and their Savior. But for one reason or another, they made excuses. And Jesus teaches about this in his parables. They all had some other place they had to go, or some place they had to be, or something to do, or some reason why they couldn't receive Jesus as their Lord today. And Jesus said, you know, if you only knew what's up ahead, if you knew what it was that would bring peace to you, but it's hidden from your eyes, you don't see it. I wonder how many people are here today who have had the opportunity in the past in their life to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. But But they let that opportunity pass them by. They were too busy. Maybe some other time will be a better time. I've got lunch on the stove. I've got people coming over. I've got plans for this weekend. And I think that the Lord would say to us, if you only knew the destruction that's coming if you don't receive the King, King Jesus, into your life. There's probably many people that would tell you that. I had the opportunity and I walked past it, and now it's like feathers in the wind. It's not there for me anymore. But I thank God that you're here today and that I'm here today. And today you have that opportunity. Today you can receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life and not have to go through the destruction that's up ahead for those who don't. I want to give you the opportunity one more time to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I'm going to invite you to come to this altar today. And I know altar calls are not a politically correct thing in the church today. But today it's politically correct, okay? For you to come to the altar to make that public confession of Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And get that issue resolved. Because we don't know if we'll ever have another chance to be together like this again. We don't know if you or I will ever have another chance to make this decision. And I want to give you the opportunity today. I feel like I would be remiss if I didn't give you this opportunity today. I will not have done my job in the eyes of God if I don't give you this opportunity. What you do with it now, that's up to you. That not one would have to leave these doors without Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. Jesus said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Your past is gone when you receive Jesus. It's gone. You're a new creature. And you're starting on a new road following him. I want to give you that opportunity today. Will you come? Do you have the courage to step forward and say, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus from this moment on? Will you come?